of Judaism that focuses on a book called the Zohar, the Book of Splendor. It's it first appeared in Spain in the 13th and 14th centuries, thereabout, and Kabbalism teaches that the Supreme Being is unknowable, that God is infinite and impersonal. It's kind of a Gnostic view of God.
Well, it sounds like it's almost like a mystical merging of Hinduism and Buddhism and Judaism, all and New Ageism into one composite.
It's very much an occultic and New Agey form of Judaism, and it it departs dramatically from traditional Judaism, and it basically makes you the agent of your own salvation.
Which is exactly what Oprah Winfrey has said. You don't need God, you are God. You don't need a Savior, you are the Savior. And Mormons say that we are God once was, and as God is, we are becoming. And when you start looking at all of these things, you begin to find the common ground in so many of these religions that is so uncommon from biblical Christianity. You've done a great job, Paul. I really appreciate given a gift to the body of Christ in this pamphlet, Christianity, Cults, and Religions, and also with your DVD, Christianity, Cults, and Religions. And friend, for your gift of $30 or more, we'll put the DVD in your hands, and $4, the pamphlet. If you want both, it's $34. And if you get both of them, there will only be one $4 postage and handling. If you get the pamphlet, it's $3 postage and handling, or the DVD is $4. So make sure you avail yourself of these wonderful, wonderful tools. And while we're at it, let me just remind you, remember, I also wrote Seduction of the Saints, Staying Pure in a World of Deception, in which we discuss in detail many of the ways that we have become and are becoming deceived. $18 gift to Save America Ministries. You can find that on our website, saveus.org. Can I urge you to become a partner with us as day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord for history's final hour? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Also, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God bless you. Be a blessing, and let's press on for Jesus, preparing the way of the Lord.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of Pastor David Whitney here in just a few moments as we begin to explore the thoughts behind the Constitution. You know, if you look at the United States, America is different than any other nation. It's different because of our founding documents, because of our Declaration of Independence, because of our Constitution. There's no other country that has the concept where rights come from God, and that was acknowledged, that our rights don't come from government, our rights don't come from the monarch or the dictator, our rights are not suddenly granted to us by the state. Our rights come from God. And governments are instituted among men to protect those God-given rights. That's what it says in the Declaration of Independence. Well, this is why, of course, it's so important. You understand the Constitution. A lot of young people today say, well, what's wrong with socialism, though? What's wrong with helping people? And I shall never forget when I had those same thoughts, being a victim of a liberal education, having graduated from the University of California in Berkeley. And I said, you know, what's wrong with socialism? Well, of course, I didn't understand that it was the antithesis of our system of government, which limits the power of the central authority so men could be free. Because if government has the right to provide for your health, it also has the right to prescribe what treatments you will get and who will live and who will die. And that's exactly what the Obama health care bill is all about. And it's frankly unconstitutional. Now, whether our courts have become so corrupted that they'll allow this to stand, only God knows the answer to that question. But if we are going to take back America, the American people must understand the very essence of our system of government. And, of course, to bring that before you tonight, we have Pastor David Whitney of the Institute on the Constitution. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Good, Dr. Stan. Thank you so much. And you're absolutely right. Many people think, and the false idea underlying the whole thing of socialism is a very unwise trust in human nature, that if you give human beings power, that they will not abuse that power. That's somehow the belief that men are essentially good, their nature is good, and no matter how much power you give them over other people, they will not do evil.
And I think it's so important for people to understand there really are people who want to establish a new aristocracy. These are people of great wealth, and these are people of great power. And so what are they doing? Why, they're pushing socialism. Because socialism centers all power with government, supposedly in the name of controlling these people of great wealth. And yet, of course, these people of great wealth then will now be able to control government and be able to control the population and establish a new feudal system. And that is what socialism is really all about. But you go right ahead, David.
And so our founders, they understood human nature well enough to know that you never, ever trust any human being with unlimited amounts of power. Any power you give to them must have all sorts of checks and balances against it. It must be counterbalanced by people with powers that can prevent them from becoming tyrannical. You never trust any form of government or any human being, because all are sinners, all have fallen short of God's glory, and if given unchecked power, they will become tyrannical, and they will do evil with that power. They will not do you good.
And that's exactly what's going on today. As government extends its power over our lives, as we find out that the government is watching us all the time, installing video cameras to watch us. Certainly, they have little cameras in most of the laptops now, so even if you have it turned off, they can watch as long as the cover's open, and they can listen to what you're saying. Are they doing the same thing with the cell phones? There really are people who want a dictatorship at what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Go right ahead, David.
So our founders, widely understanding human nature is fallen and sinful, created severe checks against the power of the central government. And they did so because they understood you do not want a monopoly of government. That is, you want competing states that are competing for businesses to come to their states that are competing for citizens. If the laws of one state are egregious and violative of your God-given rights, well, you can ultimately vote with your feet and go to a state that is more protective of your God-given rights. So they recognize that if the states were in competition with each other for citizens and for business and so forth, that's a safe system, because no one has a monopoly on the governing powers that way. And so when they talk about a central government, what we call the federal government, they recognize we need to give that federal government very, very limited powers. It should only do the things that the states cannot do on their own. Of course, one of those was to declare war, because one of the whole purposes for which the states combined together in our constitutional republic was to have a greater force if they needed to protect themselves in time of war. They recognized that the European powers with vast resources could easily overwhelm one small state, you know, a state like Rhode Island or something like that, but much more difficult for European power to overpower 13 states that had banded together to pool their resources in time of war. So it was just those things that the states could not do on their own that made any sense that they would be granted delegated enumerated powers that would be given to the federal government. Last time we were together, we were talking about the 10th Amendment, the last of our Bill of Rights, extremely important. It's really the cornerstone of freedom, setting in concrete the framers' view of a covenantal nature of government, by which government only has such power as we the people have chosen to delegate to that government. And we've delegated those powers specifically through our Constitution. And the text of the 10th Amendment reads that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, that is, Article 1, Section 10 lists a number of prohibitions of things that state governments could not do. So if the powers are not delegated to the United States, powers not prohibited to the states, those powers are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. That if we haven't given the federal government a power by the Constitution, it does not have the power to do anything in that area in terms of taxing for that area of life or spending any money in that area or doing any regulating of that area. They have no power whatsoever except those limited powers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. David Whitney was talking about the 10th Amendment, which limits the power of the federal government, and all powers not specifically given to Congress or limited by the Constitution to the Congress is to be limited to the states and to the people. It was to limit the power of the federal government. And that, of course, my goodness, we've got the Commerce Clause, we've got the Welfare Clause. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all a lie. They know it's a lie. They just hope you're not smart enough to. This is not a living, breathing Constitution, because if it is, it has no meaning at all. It can be changed at any time. Basically, if you want to change the Constitution, then it can be done but through the amendment process. The tyrants do not want to amend the Constitution. They want to erode it piece by piece, and of course they hope that the American people will not realize what's happening, and it's too late until the trap is shut. But they're well along the way, and of course we know who these people are. I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're there, they have an agenda, they know what they're doing. It's a subversive agenda, and they should be accused of what they are doing. They call it treason. Go right ahead.
So that 10th Amendment is extremely important to remember, that we need to know the limits that our Constitution places upon the federal government, which is why we encourage everyone to study the Constitution. You need to be asking those who are asking you to vote for them, especially if it's a congressman or a senator, somebody going up to to represent you in Washington, D.C. You better be absolutely certain they believe in the philosophy of government of our founders, that all men are sinners, you don't trust anyone with any power, and you only give very limited delegated powers to the federal government. In fact, you give fewer powers to the federal government than you do to the state government. And that's clearly spelled out in Federalist Paper 45 by James Madison, that powers of the federal government would be very few and defined. The powers of the state governments would be very widespread, dealing with all areas of life, liberty, property, anything to do with the people. It's going to be with the state government. The only thing the federal government's going to deal with is external issues like having to go to war or concluding a peace treaty or forming, trading issues in commerce in that way with foreign nations. Very, very few things. And today, it's the opposite. The state governments are almost subdivisions of the federal government, and they have almost no powers, which should surprise anybody if we're voting for somebody who's going to take a state office representing us in our state capital. We ought to ask them if they understand the U.S. Constitution, because if they do, they will be doing specific things in your state to protect you from a federal government gone completely out of line of the Constitution. They will interpose on your behalf as a citizen to protect you from egregious violations of the Constitution, such as the Obama health care thing. They will say, not in our state, that is illegal. And any attempt of the federal government to bring that to our state will be resisted, and we will not permit the federal government to violate the law. The state governments are charged with a power to keep the federal government within the boundaries of the Constitution. And having failed to do that in all 50 states currently, we have this gargantuan leviathan in Washington, D.C., but the states could stop that leviathan in its tracks. A number of things they could do, but first of all, they have to hold to our founders' view of law and government. They have to hold to an understanding, the original understanding of our Constitution and our Declaration and Bill of Rights. So I would encourage everyone who is listening to this to be asking tough questions about our Constitution of everyone who is asking for your vote, even if it's all the way down at the county level, particularly if it's your county sheriff. Because your county sheriff, whether he recognizes it or not, has enormous power also to stop the federal government in his jurisdiction, just in his county, stop the federal government from violating the Constitution and violating the God-given rights of the people that are under his care, under his protection. The local sheriff can do this as well. And these people need to study the Constitution. They need to understand the limits that our Constitution placed upon our federal government. Well, when we step out of the Bill of Rights and begin to talk about the amendments beyond that, the 11th Amendment deals with lawsuits against states. There was a particular lawsuit in 1793, Chisholm v. Georgia. Evidently, Chisholm had entered a contract with the state of Georgia. Georgia violated this contract, and Chisholm sued them and successfully, ultimately, sued them at the Supreme Court. Well, the result of this lawsuit in which Chisholm won was that Georgia talked to the other states, and Georgia began to move an amendment process to our Constitution that would say if a citizen is not of the state in which he is contracting an agreement, in other words, Chisholm was from another state, wasn't a citizen of Georgia, if a citizen is of another jurisdiction, that the state cannot be sued for violating a contract which it formed with an individual that was a citizen of another jurisdiction. So basically, this gives states permission to violate any contract they form with anyone who's not a citizen of their state.
Well, then why would anybody want to actually sign a contract with a state if you weren't a citizen of that state? Because you have no rights. Basically, that's a terrible amendment.
It is. It is, because it strips an individual from having a contract that is enforceable with a state government.
And, of course, that's the trouble. So many of the amendments to the Constitution have actually worked against the rights of the people. That is why certainly the first 10 amendments are known as the Bill of Rights. I think we should call the rest of them various means of stripping people of their rights by expanding the power of government and giving the government the ability to take advantage of the individual. And that's exactly what the 11th individual says. If you have a contract with us, we don't have to abide by it. And there's nothing you can do about it because it's constitutional. Go ahead.
Yes, and so it's one of those amendments you look and say, well, wait a minute, our founders, how did they envision this? Because they thought, and they said in their writings, that contracts were sacred. These were sacred, almost like an oath, that when you enter into a contract with another individual, that contract better be honored. Otherwise, justice in society. So the 11th Amendment should be one that, if we could repeal it, would be a good amendment to repeal. It actually amended Article 3, Section 2 of our Constitution regarding these kind of lawsuits that are Article 3, Section 2 envisioned that the Supreme Court would be the court of original jurisdiction in which these type of cases would be heard, because obviously if you have a citizen of one state in a lawsuit with another state, neither of those state courts are going to be unbiased in handling that kind of lawsuit. So this was not a good idea very early on, 1793, as that was ratified. Well, the next amendment came as a result of the election of 1800. If you want to read some fascinating election stories, that is a real cliffhanger, really, because it was one of these rare cases where there was not a majority of votes in the Electoral College, and as our Constitution says for the election of the President in Article 1, if the Electoral College, if there's not a majority, then it will be turned over to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives will vote and determine who is going to become the President. And in this whole fascinating story of the election of 1800, ultimately Thomas Jefferson emerges as the President. Interestingly enough, up to this point in time, the 11th Amendment, that the way it was done...
That's the 12th Amendment now.
Well, excuse me, the 12th
Amendment.
Talking about
the 12th Amendment,
yeah,
right.
Sorry, the 12th Amendment. The way it was done is that the highest vote-getter in the Electoral College would become the President. and the person who came in second in the number of votes in the Electoral College would become the vice president. So you had two political opponents who were fighting against each other during the campaign, and when the campaign's all over, when the Electoral College cast their votes, then the president and the vice president, who've been opponents and fighting against each other in the campaign now, are president and vice president. Well, that, especially in the campaign of 1800, became a problem as the vice president, in this case Thomas Jefferson, was running against John Adams. And quite a contentious campaign, and the whole thing about the Alien and Sedition Acts that John Adams had passed through, and a great violation that was of our God-given rights. So there was a lot of things that took place, and it began to be apparent that this was not the wisest pattern, that it might be better to have a slate of president and vice president, and people would be voting for vice president and president together, and there'd be other opposing parties that would have a vice president and president on their slate, and that's the decision that the 12th Amendment brought about, to amend Article 2, Section 1, providing that electors should vote separately for president and vice president. So that's an interesting change. You know, I think it makes sense of when you look at all the amendments that have taken place, there's a few of them you say, well, yeah, that one makes enough sense that we would do well to preserve it. And then we move to the terrible war, the bloodiest war in American history, and the completely unnecessary war, the war that I think is best labeled the war to prevent Southern independence. You see, many people think it's about slavery. It was not. Our 16th president admitted in his inaugural address, read it for yourself, the inaugural address of Lincoln, his first inaugural, he admits that he had no intention of touching the institution of slavery. It wasn't about slavery. He admits it wasn't about slavery. It was about this question. Do the states who are part of this union have the right to secede? That is to say, we don't like this union for whatever reason, and we decide we're going to unconnect ourselves. We're going to secede from this union. And up to the point of the war, every state understood that they had the right to do that. The New England states, five different times, once in the War of 1812 and four other times, they talked about secession, one time even meeting in Connecticut in convention to vote on whether New England was going to secede from the Union and form its own country.
But I think it's important that people understand the reason that the South wanted to secede had nothing to do with slavery. It had to do everything to do with tariffs, and the tariffs were being used by the Northerners to benefit themselves and, of course, to impoverish the Southerners. And, of course, the Southerners certainly were not being protected by the tariffs, but the Northerners were, and this was really, frankly, unfair. That was what the war was really all about. They don't teach it in school now, but they don't teach much honest history at all. That's why we don't understand the past. We'll be back in just a moment with Pastor Whitney. David, go right ahead.
So when we come to the 13th Amendment and the 14th and 15th, we need to understand the 13th, 14th, and 15th in the context of what was actually taking place.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
It's 1861, why the South tried to secede. They had a right to do it constitutionally, but of course there were powerful forces that did not want that. They wanted a war. They were going to make a lot of money out of the war, but of course Abraham Lincoln fooled them. He did not borrow money at 30% interest as the bankers wanted. He printed his own money, that was the Lincoln greenbacks, and of course he paid for that with his life. Every time, of course, we would defy the bankers why we had problems when Congress refused to renew the charter of the First Bank of the United States in 1811. Well, in 1812, we had the War of 1812. Of course, then, of course, when Andrew Jackson defeated the bank in 1837, they had a terrible, terrible depression after that. And this was all punishment for daring to challenge the powers that really rule from behind the scenes. Abraham Lincoln challenged them and paid with his life. Certainly, McKinley did the same thing. John Fitzgerald Kennedy wanted, of course, to bring back a silverback currency. He paid with his life. So nothing is exactly as it appears to be. But go ahead, Pastor Whitney, pick up
the
story.
Yeah. Well, so the 13th Amendment abolished slavery, and it's interesting to ask people, why was the 13th Amendment necessary? Hadn't Abraham Lincoln freed all those slaves with the Emancipation Proclamation? Oh, there's a very interesting propaganda piece that was extremely successful, so successful that people still today believe that the Emancipation Proclamation actually freed slaves. And don't take my word for it. You can actually go to the National Archives website and see what they say about the Emancipation Proclamation. And they admit, and obviously these are people who are very pro-Lincoln, and they think Lincoln was a wonderful man and it did a great deal of good, and yet they admit right there that if you study the terms of that document, the Emancipation Proclamation did not free one slave. All the slaves in the area controlled by the Union Army, those slaves were not freed. Slaves in Louisiana were not freed. Slaves here in Maryland, which was from the beginning of the war, the first section that was conquered by the Union Army, none of those slaves were freed. The only slaves that Lincoln freed were the slaves in areas he did not control. In other words, those that were still under the Confederacy. So it would be like us saying, well, we're going to free all the slaves over in Afghanistan or something. It's like, what? How are you going to do that unless you go to war and defeat Afghanistan and then free the slaves? So the Emancipation Proclamation did not free one slave at all, which is why the 13th Amendment was necessary to abolish slavery.
And I think a better analogy would be the slaves in Saudi Arabia. They still have slaves in Saudi Arabia, and we fully back Saudi Arabia. I wonder why we are worried about the slavery in Saudi Arabia today, but go right ahead.
And that raises a good question. I have some friends who like to say that, you know, what happened in the war between the states really didn't end slavery. It simply expanded the plantation to include every American becoming a slave of the federal government. And but obviously it didn't happen right away. But certainly if your federal government is now saying we're going to take care of you from cradle to grave, and we're going to take as much as we want of your wealth in order to take care of you from cradle to grave, we're going to educate you, we're going to give you health care, we're going to provide you housing, we'll provide you clothes, we'll provide you food, everything you need will be provided. What is that? That's slavery, my friends. You might think it's, oh, that's a wonderful thing to provide everything. No, just look at history and see where governments claim to do that. It is always a grinding poverty that they bring upon the people because the government doesn't have any money. It doesn't create any wealth. It just steals wealth and impoverishes those people that it takes the wealth from. And so, really, you know, although it certainly didn't happen right away, the plantation has been steadily expanding. And that's what we need to understand, is the federal government grows in its power and its reach. What it's moving towards is enslaving all of us, taking more and more of our wealth and now stealing not just from us, but our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren. I mean, the stripping of wealth that's taking place now with these bailouts is just multi-generational. That the federal government is creating generation upon generation of tax slaves who we'll never have any hope of being free once again.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. We're talking about the document that separates America from every other nation in the world. And you must understand that this is very significant. That's the reason it's not taught in law school. That's the reason the real purpose of the Constitution is not taught in our schools today. The secret of our Constitution was to limit the power of government because our founding fathers didn't trust men, and they certainly didn't trust men with power. But there have always been those who had a different agenda, and that agenda is certainly being implemented today.
Well, one of the most damaging...
Hold up just a moment here. David, you're right ahead.
Well, one of the most damaging things that came about in the 13th Amendment is the final phrase or the final sentence of the 13th Amendment. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. And this has not only appeared in the 13th Amendment, it has also appeared in the 14th and the 15th and the 18th and the 19th and the 23rd and the 24th and the 26th. And this is essentially a blank check that allows Congress to determine whatever it needs, whatever it thinks it needs, and to create any legislation that it might in any way think might relate some way to enforcing the 13th Amendment or the 14th, 15th, and so on. And this is a dangerous power that was being granted at this point in time, because if you allow the federal government to determine the extent of its powers, you can be sure that the federal government is going to expand its power and probably expand it exponentially, given fallen, sinful human nature. So that phrase, Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation, who's going to determine what's appropriate? Congress, of course. They're going to determine whatever they want in terms of appropriate legislation, and they can enforce it any way they want. And so, you know, down through the history of the 13th Amendment, it's interesting to see how the early courts simply ruled that the 13th Amendment abolished the institution of slavery, but did not abolish anything other than that, just slavery. That other forms of segregation or discrimination, they weren't being dealt with by the text of the 13th Amendment. I believe that's an accurate understanding of the 13th Amendment. And yet, so there were some cases, for example, in 1883, civil rights cases that determined that, no, the 13th Amendment only abolished the institution of slavery. It's interesting, in that 1883 case, Justice Harlan dissented. He said, well, no, the 13th Amendment does more than abolish slavery.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David is simply pointing out that the 13th Amendment, the last segment, says that certainly the Congress will then have the right to pass any law that they feel appropriate to implement the this freeing of the slaves. And this then gives Congress unlimited power, and there have been certainly legislation, certainly controversies, bills have come out. Since that time, and trying to expand the power of government, and the Supreme Court repeatedly said, no, that is not what the 13th Amendment says. I mean, the 13th Amendment only frees the slaves. It doesn't expand congressional power as far as discrimination or anything else as far as the black people are concerned. It limits the power of the Congress just to that one issue. Well, of course, there's always been those who wanted to expand the power of government. Because remember, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And there really are people who want to extend that power of the federal government to enslave the people, both black and white. Well, before we go on, David, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with the Institute on the Constitution, how they can actually take the course on the Internet, how they can get a kit and actually begin teaching the Constitution in their communities, to their friends, their churches. So people begin to understand the Constitution. This is happening all across America. There's been a tremendous resurgence of interest in the Constitution like we haven't seen already for decades. And people are beginning to study the Constitution all across America through the program put on by Michael Perutka and Pastor David Whitney and others there at the Institute of the Constitution. So please tell people how they can get in touch with you, telephone number, all of the details.
Thank you, Dr. Stannon. Yes, we want to train millions of Americans in the understanding of our founders' view of law and government, which is essential to understand what they meant by what they wrote in the Declaration and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and so getting their understanding of law and government, and then having that understanding of law and government be the lens through which we understand what they wrote and understand an accurate interpretation of the Constitution. So our website, iotconline.com, that is the website for Institute on the Constitution, is iotconline, which is all one word, iotconline.com. People can go to our website and sign up and take the online course, where they can watch the video lectures and even see the discussion and the question and answer time online with the videos, and download the student materials, where they'll have a full copy of the student notebook with the outline of the lectures and the test questions and supplemental reading materials that are part of the assignment between each of those lectures. They can go to our website, iotconline.com, sign up and take that online course. We also offer another online course on the jury and the tremendous importance of understanding your powers as a juror, as a truly constitutional juror. And then we encourage people to go beyond just taking it individually. We find that there's tremendous value in a group of people taking the course together, because the bubbling up of ideas is people say, well, I read this in the newspaper today, or did you see that on TV last night? Or they begin to put together the pieces, and as the discussion takes place among the class members, a synergy happens where there's real enthusiasm and excitement to say, hey, I'm not alone. You know, if I watched the big box with a one-eyed monster there in the living room, I might believe that I'm all alone. I'm an idiot, and nobody thinks like I do, and nobody would dare say the things that come to my mind. And I get in a group of people who are studying what our founder said, and I find, no, I'm not alone. In fact, I've got a lot of neighbors and friends and people all around me who believe as I do and who are rediscovering our founder's view of law and government, and that is the sane view, that is the sensible view, and that's what we need to return our country to. And so we encourage people to go beyond just individually studying the Constitution and get a class together in your own living room. We have many people that are just doing it in their own home, or I find that churches are excellent opportunities. I'm going to be graduating a large group out in Springfield, Ohio, of several different churches that have been hosting the class this summer. And so these are the summer classes that are coming together to do a graduation. And so churches are great places to do this. So you could do it in a community center of any kind. And by purchasing the host kit, you've gained all the materials you need in a turnkey fashion to conduct this course. The lectures by constitutional law professor John Eismo, a student notebook with a thorough outline, and all the materials you need to conduct a course yourself. So you can call us if you'd like to order that, or you can go to our website, iotconline.com, or you can call us toll-free at Institute on the Constitution. That toll-free number is 1-866-730-9796. Again, that toll-free number for Institute on the Constitution is 1-866-730-9796. And as you said, Dr. Stan, we're very encouraged because all over America, people are waking up. The Tea Party movements are maturing in that people are recognizing the real issue isn't necessarily with all the policy and problems that we identify on the surface. It's the deeper level that the Constitution is not just being ignored, it's being specifically trampled and violated on a daily basis in Washington, D.C., and it's got to stop. And so things like that happen in our neighbor state here of Delaware, a Tea Party favorite there. Christy O'Donnell, she won because people recognized the opponent was so unconstitutional that it made no sense to vote for such a person. And elsewhere around the country, similar races are taking place. So as people wake up to the fact that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and if it's not being followed, if it's being violated, we need to put these violators, these lawbreakers, out of the positions of power that they currently hold. We need to return it to people who will abide by the Constitution. But we can only do that if we know the Constitution ourselves, and if we have studied its details enough that we can evaluate candidates via the standard that is established as the supreme law of the land, our United States Constitution. So people can go to our website, iotconline.com, or give us a call at Institute on the Constitution, 1-866-730-9796, and they can join that army of people all over America today that are taking back our country first by studying and then educating as wide a circle of people that they can influence in their community to begin the process of turning this socialist ship back to the constitutional land of a true republic based in following our Constitution.
Okay, fine. We'll go right ahead. And I certainly agree with everything you're saying. And I think it's so exciting that there really is this renewed interest in the Constitution. This is the one thing, of course, that the tyrants fear, is the people will realize and come to understand that this is a subversive movement being orchestrated by people of great wealth who want to establish a feudal society in the United States. Go right ahead.
Well, that 13th Amendment, as we said, was early understood that it only abolished slavery, not the incidents and badges of slavery and so on, segregation and all of those things. And that view changed 180 degrees from the Supreme Court case in 1883 to the Supreme Court case Jones v. Mayer in 1968. And here, that view that, of course, the 13th Amendment abolished all the other things, not just slavery, came into vogue and was, you know, as the Supreme Court ruled, then all of a sudden everybody began to say, well, you know, we've got to follow this new ruling of the Supreme Court, and that's where many of the civil rights cases came about. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't think segregation or these incidents and badges of slavery are a good thing. What I am saying is the 13th Amendment did not grant power to the federal government. Again, everything that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and subsequent amendments, it gives a grant of power to the federal government. The only power given to the federal government by the 13th Amendment as it was originally intended, in other words, what it really meant, was just to abolish slavery, nothing else. I'm not saying these other things are good, but they're not the business of the federal government. They're the business of the state government. And yes, there might be states that are violating people's God-given rights, but the federal government has not been granted power through the 13th Amendment to do anything about those violations of God-given rights of citizens in their state. And so when the federal government oversteps its boundaries, it's the job of the states to push back and say, no, you don't go there. Sorry, you don't have any power or authority to do anything about this issue. This is in our jurisdiction, not in your jurisdiction. But what we have in the 60s was the federal government pushing itself down the throats of the states, and the states, some of them, like Alabama, trying to fight back, and you know what they had? They had federal troops on the ground in Arkansas to enforce segregation, desegregation of the schools, and federal troops. I mean, this was an egregious power grab on the part of the federal government to say, we don't care what the original text of the 13th Amendment meant. We're going to do whatever we bloody well please. And that's exactly what they did, in violation of our structure of government that limits the federal government to only having those powers that we, the people, have delegated to them. And through the 13th Amendment, we only delegated to them the power to end slavery, nothing else. And unfortunately, I think many Americans swallowed the lie that, civil rights, we've got to do something about this. Well, hey, if we needed to solve a problem and it had to be done by the federal government, there is a way to accomplish that goal. And the way to accomplish that goal is to amend the Constitution with an additional amendment that grants a new power to the federal government that was not granted by the 13th Amendment. So it's sad to see that what happened in the 60s, that many people accepted as good. In fact, you hear people today always praising what happened in the 60s, the civil rights movement, and, you know, the anniversary here of Martin Luther King's speech in Washington, D.C. Just a few weeks ago, all of the ballyhoo about that, lauding, and many people who would call themselves conservatives and so forth, they also laud the civil rights movement. What a wonderful thing it was. Well, it's a two-edged sword. What it did is it expanded the power of federal government unconstitutionally into the lives of the citizens, into the lives and the activities of the states, and that is not a safe thing. We said at the beginning of the show, the idea of our founders was you have a competing system of government. There's no one monopoly. If you don't like the laws in your state, you feel the laws of your state are violating people's God-given rights, well, fine. You ought to move from that state to someplace else if you cannot change the laws in your state. You have the right to do that. But if the federal government has all power, you cannot escape from that kind of monopoly centralized in Washington, D.C. Another thing I'd like to mention about this is they were called civil rights. And that itself, that term is a misnomer, a term our founders would have never used. They would never and never did talk about civil rights, because civil right, that term implies that your rights come from the government, from civil government. Civil government gives you your rights. No. Our founder said absolutely not. Civil government doesn't give you any rights. Civil government only secures your God-given rights if it does its job and it does it correctly. And it does not in itself grant you any rights. So the whole term of civil rights is a misnomer, and again, it's one of those things that many people who have call themselves conservative, have swallowed the lie about civil rights. Now, we shouldn't be talking about civil rights. We should be talking about God-given rights. And you might say the God-given rights regarding segregation or these badges and incidents of slavery. That's the right way to talk about those things, not to call them civil rights. And really, that whole movement has an enormous amount of impact because it was sold as a moral issue, but really underlying it was a further destruction of our constitutional republic and the checks that the state governments were supposed to hold the federal government to. Well, moving from the 13th Amendment, we come to the 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment had a great deal of difficulty in being ratified. It was shot down at first, and it was not just shot down by southern states. It was shot down by some northern states, Maryland. Well, Maryland's a border state, you could say, but you could call it a southern state. It voted against it. Ohio voted against it. There was a great backlash. The 14th Amendment failed miserably until the state governments, the duly constituted and properly elected state governments of the southern states, were abolished by the federal government. And puppet governments were installed in their place. Now, you probably haven't heard that. Most people never hear that detail of the Reconstruction era. This is 1868. It was not just the Reconstruction era. It was a Reconstruction error. Terrible, terrible error. How dare the federal government go in and eliminate a duly constituted government in a state? Here was a crushing of states and the powers that our founders wanted states to have. Here's the exact opposite of what the federal government was supposed to be doing. And they got away with it. And so you could say the 14th Amendment as well as the 15th Amendment were ratified under this illegal scheme of puppet governments installed by Washington, D.C. in southern states that voted down both the 14th and the 15th Amendment. Is that a legal ratification? I dare say not. If you look at what our Constitution it talks about, the amendment process in Article 5, there is no way that that is a permissible action, and therefore no way that the results of that action can be lawful, can be legal. In other words, I'm saying, constitutionally speaking, the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment are null and void because the way in which they were ratified was completely illegal. We can talk about the 16th and the 17th Amendment later because similar things took place with both of them. And so here's a fascinating piece of American history that is not taught anywhere except there's a few books out there that speak about this. But you do the research, go back into the original historical records, and you find it's absolutely true. They established puppet governments. I think Washington, D.C., got some blood in its mouth and began to like this idea of walking over duly established governments and then just ripping them apart and establishing puppet governments. Because you look at our history, we've been doing it ever since. Hey, what did we do in the Philippines? And what did we do in Vietnam? And on the list goes, what have we done in Iraq? And how about Afghanistan? And, oh, the Shah of Iran, overturning him and putting up again and again and again throughout our history, Washington, D.C. has gone about destroying duly constituted governments and installing its puppet government so that the puppet government would do the will of Washington, D.C. instead of truly representing the people that government was supposed to represent.
Well, okay, I think this is really, have to understand this by understanding we have an invisible government. But we have a legitimate government, we have an illegitimate government, a secret government, an invisible government. And they're the ones who are expanding our power. They're the ones, of course, who send certainly economic hitmen into third world countries to get those third world countries in debt to our banks and then continue to exploit them, keep the people impoverished. These things are going on intentionally today, and the average American doesn't know. But you need to know. You need to understand what's going on. Because, of course, what we have done to other nations will soon be done to America as they move to impoverish the American people and destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, David, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, let's talk just briefly then about the 14th Amendment itself. constitutional scholars all agree that this is the most important amendment since the...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Because we live in a different world than we lived in 1776 or in 1789 when the Constitution went into effect. Basically, we have a fixed document because men do not change. Men want power today as much as they wanted it at the time when our Constitution was written up, and our founding fathers wisely limited the power of the central authority so men could be free. Isn't it a shame we don't teach that in schools today? And the reason they don't teach it is because schools have been taken over, the media has been taken over, and we do have an invisible government. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to understand what it's about. You need, of course, to watch the DVD if you haven't seen it, Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available on our website at RadioLiberty.com. You need to understand what's really going on. You need to hear our talk on the planned police state. It's a DVD, and of course, it does come with a syllabus. You can get that. You need to understand all the wars that they've taken us into. Totally unnecessary wars. That's the story of Iraq, the untold story, and there's a DVD that goes with that. You need to understand they really do plan to eliminate most of the world's population. You need, of course, to hear my talk on planned population reduction or Nader, call it genocide, or Dr. David Abe's excellent DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda. They're killing our children, and they're sterilizing or destroying the fertility of children throughout the world. That's what the vaccine program is really all about. It's about population control, and through the process of epigenetics, altering the genetic makeup of the children who've been poisoned, and then, of course, so that their children and their children's children will not be able to have a number of children, large families. Well, this is the point when I need to remind our listeners my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to help, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then also, this is the time when I need to remind you about our all-day seminar. It's going to be the annual Radio Liberty seminar put on here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And it's on October 17th. We're going to have certainly speakers from all over the country. Looks like we're going to have a good turnout. I hope you can come, but you're going to have a reservation because we're serving at lunch, and we have to know how many people are going to be there. So this should be a great time to come and bring others that you want to educate about what's going on. We got a call just the other day. A woman was sending her friend from all the way from Colorado, hoping that he'd be able to learn and understand what is really going on in the world. So if you can come and bring others, why, we still have some openings. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll go to our website. You know, you can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day on the Internet. You can actually listen on a cell phone and 24 hours a day to Radio Liberty. It comes with a Genesis. The number is 760-LOW-SO11. That's 760-LOW-SO11. And or you can go up to our website and get the exact number. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our ministry and explain to them that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And there really are spiritual forces out there. There is a supernatural world. And, of course, people are energized from that dimension, and they're working to create a world government. That was the goal of Nimrod almost 4,200 years ago. And he built the incomplete Tower of Babel. Well, they've completed the building. It's in Strasbourg, Germany, where the EU Parliament meets. And, of course, it's an incomplete Tower of Babel. And they understand what this is all about. We were going to reconstitute what Nimrod failed to accomplish, a one-world government, which has been the goal of the dark side ever since the time of the Garden of Eden. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Keith Howell, who did an excellent job over in the San Jose area by expressing his concern about the spraying that was going on over there. And every evening after the people had gone to sleep, they were out there spraying the whole communities, or large segments of communities. They were spraying for West Nile virus, trying to kill the mosquitoes that were carrying West Nile virus. The problem was that this was a non-issue. As of certainly June, July of this last year, there were only two cases in all of California. Nobody had died of this. I think maybe somebody has died since then. But this was not a major issue. And yet they were going to be spraying substances which are potentially toxic, and of course this is in violation of the idea that you cannot do this without informed consent. And they would hold a few public meetings, send out some postcards, and then tell the people that didn't rather whether they wanted to or not they were going to do it. But of course Keith kept putting the pressure on. One person was able to put pressure on out of the whole establishment over there, a public health establishment, spraying at nighttime when nobody knew what it was doing with toxic chemicals. And eventually, well, what happened, Keith?
Well, I called the people responsible for the spraying, the Santa Clara County Vector Control District, yesterday morning and asked them, or no, this morning, and asked them when the last time they sprayed was, and they said it was in July. So apparently, that you know, it's made an impact. And we've got a group together, and we're getting signatures and that, and I've contacted a lot of the officials, public officials that are involved in this spraying, and they answered all my questions within 24 to 48 hours until I asked them about this being a part of human experimentation with pesticides, and I specifically asked, as per a bill that was passed in Congress in 1998, and that's called H.R. 1119. Then they didn't even respond to my letters, and they stopped talking to me completely. So,
well, now, what was this legislation that was passed through Congress? What did it do? Did it increase our rights, or did it eliminate our rights as citizens to be free from experimentation?
It turned us into guinea pigs. It's in this bill is 1,099 pages, and right in the middle of it, on page 703 to 704, is hidden what this Section 1078. It says National Defense and Authorization Act, Section 1078, restrictions on the use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents. And then it gives the prohibitions, prohibited activities. The Secretary of Defense may not conduct directly or by contract any test experiment involving the use of a chemical agent or biological agent on civilian population or any other testing of a chemical agent or biological agent on human subjects, with the following exceptions. Subject to subsection C, D, and E, the chemical agent or biological agent on human, the prohibition in subsection A does not apply to a test or experiment carried out for any of the following purposes. Number one, any peaceful purpose that was related to a medical, therapeutic, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activity. Number two, any purpose that is directly related to protection against toxic chemicals or biological weapons and agents. Number three, any law enforcement purpose, including any purpose related to riot control. And the Secretary of Defense may conduct a test or experiment described in subsection B only if informed consent to the testing was obtained from each human subject in advance of the testing on the subject.
Of course, but that it does say that they have to have informed consent. Would that be for everything?
For if it falls under human experimentation, every subject has to be given. They have to obtain informed consent from any subject.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. But they're not getting it. Well, the point that you were really making when you were, of course, attending the meetings that they were putting on was the form that they could not just tell the people they were going to do it and then hold a public meeting and go ahead and do it if the people didn't want it. Didn't you actually take votes or call, ask the people there at the meetings if they really wanted to be experimented on, and none of them did? What tell us about that?
Well, they even had a boy that was, I don't know, he's 8 or 10 years old. He stood up and spoke out and said, we should be able to vote on this. We should have a say in the matter, you know, and the kid knew better than they did, and they said, no, we're not here to vote on it, you know, you're going to be sprayed regardless, we're here to answer your question.
Well, did you call to their attention the fact that they're required to get informed consent? Informing is not informed consent. Informing is informing, but consent means the people have to be willing to accept the risk of the toxic chemicals.
I did more than that, Dr. Stan. I served them through certified mail with a demand notice and a copy of the laws, and I demanded, I told them I deny consent, and I demand not to be sprayed, and I demand for any spraying to go in any vicinity where a blowover may occur, where they could, the winds could carry it on me. And then I also showed up at the meeting and told them, you know, that this, you can't do this without my consent. And they did it anyway. So now they're refusing to answer my question, does this have anything to do with human experimentation with pesticides, because they know that they have broken the law if they answer that yes.
But, of course, the thing is that basically they've stopped spraying. Have they really stopped spraying, or are they lying to you?
As far as I know, they haven't posted anything on their website. When they usually put up notice they're going to do it, they haven't announced any meetings in the paper that I've seen. And, you know, I am not up at 1 to 3 and 4 in the morning in all the neighborhoods driving around looking for spray trucks. So I don't know.
Well, why don't you tell us what they were really doing now? They were not doing aerial spraying. They were doing a spraying from trucks. Is this how it happened?
Yes. They have these trucks that are called ground foggers. And what these do is they go down the streets in the neighborhood and they spray tremendous amounts of pesticides. It's just like a fogger you would use in the backyard. It sprays a huge clouds of these miniature particulate matter, which goes into the air and floats around, and it lands on everything. And they even told you didn't have to close your windows, which is, that's a violation of federal law, because the manufacturer safety data sheet says to avoid breathing and contact. So they played it down and said there's nothing to worry about.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Keith Howe, Dr. Keith Howe. And Keith lives over in the Santa Clara area where they were doing this spraying. And they were going out at nighttime in the middle of the night when nobody was seeing. And they were fogging the areas, supposedly to kill the mosquitoes, which carry the West Nile virus, which was not a problem here in California. So, I mean, when you've got two cases in an entire state, it's in, what was that, June or July, those figures you sent me from the CDC?
Yeah, at the time, I don't think there were any human cases when this began, when they started this year. There were no human cases in California at that time that it began.
All right. And what about now? Do we have any idea?
Oh, yeah, they've got a chart up there. But the thing is they just because they have West Nile virus shows up in their bloodstream doesn't mean that that caused any pathology or disease necessarily.
All right, fine. So basically, this is really pretty much of a non-issue. Now, do we know what chemicals they were actually spraying?
Yes, what they were spraying was Purinone 25-5. And what that is, it's a combination. It has pyrethrins in it, and pyrethrins are made from a flower, and it's a toxic pesticide, and it's one of the most common causes of insecticide poisoning.
Is that pyrethrin? Is that what comes from, actually, some sort of a product that comes from flowers, or what is it?
Yeah, I forget if it's not a lily. I should have it here. But it's an extract from a flower, and it causes more poisoning incidents than any other class of insecticides except for the organophosphates. And it's classified, the piperonyl butoxide is mixed in with it. What piperonyl butoxide does is it disables your immune system so that it stops these enzymes that can break down the pesticide and make it less toxic. So that disables the insect or person, because we have the similar enzymes, the cytochrome oxidase enzymes are blocked, and we have those. And then it allows the poison to be more effective because the body can't break it down and have a resistance to it.
So basically what you're saying is they're spraying something that decreases the immune response on human beings as well as on the mosquitoes?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have a letter here from, it's an outstanding letter. It had 8 PhDs and medical doctors and scientists. It's called an open letter. They have 40 scientific references. An open letter by concerned physicians and scientists to stop the indiscriminate spraying of friendly fire pesticides. And they state that exposure to chemical pesticide residues, especially if chronic, even at low levels, can cause genetic damage, birth defects, disruption of hormone regulation, defective sexual development, brain damage, Parkinson's disease, allergies, exacerbations of asthma, cancer, and many other health problems.
Could you send me a copy of that letter sometime, Keith? I'd sure like to have it done.
I sure can.
Are these people talking about this specific spraying, or are they talking about spraying in general? And they talk about the pyrethrum toxin?
They're talking about spraying in general.
Okay.
And then it says here, especially disturbing is the finding the predisposition to cancer and other health problems due to genetic damage related to pesticide exposure may be transmitted by affected individuals not only to their offspring, but further generations. So this can be affecting several generations down the line.
Well, that, of course, is this process of epigenetics, which, of course, we talk about in reference to the vaccines that are being given. And basically, for our listener out there, the genes are like little switches, and the gene, you can turn it off or you can turn it on. The genes manufacture protein molecules. You turn the switch on, it manufactures protein molecules. You turn it off, it doesn't manufacture protein molecules, and they can certainly influence fertility by turning off the fertility genes, and then, of course, but if those genes are turned off, why then they will be turned off in your sperm or in your ovum, so that your children and your children's children and your children's children's children will not be able to reproduce. And it sounds to me like this is part of the program for population control.
Yes, and John Holdren, Obama's science czar, is all for that. He even wrote a book with Paul Ehrlich suggesting that they put sterilants in the water and reduce our ability to procreate.
Well, they're already doing that. That's one of the main reasons for the putting the fluoride in the water. And all the scientific studies are there. And if you're out in the listening audience and you want to verify that, you need to get our talk on the hidden agenda. And you need to get the syllabus that goes with that, because it'll give you the scientific data. It'll give you actually the abstracts from the journal Fluoride, which they were kind enough to give me permission to reproduce. And they're in the syllabus on the hidden agenda. That's what water fluoridation is doing. And of course, certainly, I don't know whether Mr. Holdren already realized, they're already doing exactly what he's suggesting, putting this in the water of 68% of the communities across the country are to decrease fertility. And people say, well, that if that was happening, the doctors would know. No, the doctors wouldn't know, because, of course, everything is done to conceal the truth from the doctors, from the dentists, from the American people, as you poison their children and generations yet unborn. But go right ahead, Keith.
There were women at these meetings with the Santa Clara County Vector Control District that were expressing concern about having their ability to get pregnant compromised, and they were asking me questions and if they should move out of the area and that, you know. And I have patients, and I know there's a lot of people, a lot of women are having problems getting pregnant these days. And they're going in and they're going to all these fertility clinics and spending, you know, tens and thousands of dollars trying to get pregnant.
Well, of course, we poison them with so many things, whether it be the aspartame, the NutraSweet products, the bisphenols, other chemicals and insecticides and pesticides.
Vaccine.
Right. Of course, all of these things, the fluoride and certainly and the drinking water, and even the genetically modified food, certainly in animals, has been shown to decrease fertility. This is all part of the process of population control. And the average individual has no idea. Are you getting your patients over there educated? Do they have any idea that they are intentionally being poisoned as part of the greater plan for the greater good, that is, for the common people, that is, to kill off most of them?
Absolutely. I spend much time talking about that and educating them, and I collecting signatures here and educating them. I got it on the window of my office on West Nile virus, and educating patients is a very important way of empowering them to take care of their health. If they don't know what's going on, they can't protect themselves from it.
And, of course, this is why it's so important that professional people understand this. And I wish that more of the physicians and the chiropractors and the other practitioners would take a stand on this, because we can reach the people. We have the knowledge, but We have to impart that to the average individual, and they will listen to a person with a doctor's degree, whatever that doctor degree may be. They will listen to them because they look up to them, and we need to educate people. Are you getting any help from any of the other doctors or chiropractors over where you are?
No, there was another chiropractor that I knew that showed up at the meeting, but he didn't speak much. I didn't see or hear from any medical doctors except the health department, which comes in there to try and tell us that it's good for us, like a vitamin or something, you know. I was pretty much the only one there, but I took in handouts, about 12, 14 papers with all the facts on it, and handed that out to the people who were sitting there because they were upset and they wanted to stop spraying, but they didn't have the facts and they didn't know what to do. They thought, like, well, what can we do? Well, you can't do anything, they told them. And I said, here you can. I said, this is fraud. This is illegal. There is no threat from the West Nile virus. 80% of the people that get infected don't even know it. 20% get mild flu-like symptoms, and less than 1% get any significant serious illness or encephalopathy. And the fact of the matter is, going back to that open letter from concerned physicians, is impairment of the immune system by chemical pesticides can lead to allergies, autoimmune disorders such as lupus and cancer, and it may also lead to infections which may normally be resistant. In other words, exposure to spraying with chemical pesticides may actually increase the risk of developing the West Nile virus encephalitis. And it does that because the pesticides compromise the blood-brain barrier and allow the virus to cross it and get in there, and it's usually older or immunocompromised people. So this is 1% of a very small number to begin with. So it's insignificant. And they go on to say that the danger to human health caused by the indiscriminate spraying of pesticides is far greater than the danger of acquiring the West Nile virus from mosquitoes. And then they go on to say that malathion, for an example, is an organophosphate pesticide, can permanently damage the nervous system after only one exposure. So these things are very toxic, and they affect us.
And, of course, the thing is, it's not going to happen to everybody, but certainly some people are very, very sensitive to this, and we've talked to people who have had permanent neurological damage. If you have it exposed to it repeatedly, why, you can have serious consequences. This is why you always need to wear a mask. You always need to wear gloves, some sort of respirator if you're ever doing any spraying of any sort. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Keith. And, of course, the thing is that Keith, because he was organized, because he was able to come up with the material, because he sent letters to these people telling them they were violating the federal law, and he had the federal law, which, of course, demands that there be informed consent. Well, apparently they pretty well backed down on this, haven't they, at least in your area? What about other areas in the state?
Marin County did a good job. They also, there was a gentleman organized that there, and they have a website that has a lot of information on pesticide spraying and how to oppose it, and they got it stopped there. Santa Cruz got it stopped. A lot of areas have been successful in getting them to stop spraying, but they have to be active.
Here in Santa Cruz, why, of course, it was the light brown apple moth. And of course, they said, oh, it's going to devastate the crops, going to destroy the agricultural industry in California. We've got to spray the people. Well, you know, if you're worried about the light brown apple moth and hurting the crops, why don't you spray the crops? Oh, we can't spray the crops, you know, or we just got to spray the people. Well, the people were up in arms, and, they stopped it. And you know the most amazing thing? Why the agricultural industry hasn't been destroyed? They were lying to us. So obviously there was another agenda. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Could they really be trying to hurt the population? Go right ahead.
I'd like to...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
And they've stopped it up there. But, of course, he was able to stop it in Santa Clara by having the law sending copies of it out. And they stopped, you know, during the spring for the West Nile virus in that area, at least temporarily. Remember, these people have an agenda. Their real agenda, I believe, is population control. They're not interested in your health. They're interested in destroying your health. They want to use something that will decrease your immunity. And, of course, your immunity is your defense against not only infection, but, of course, against cancer, and, of course, you decrease the immunity, why you'll have more of a tendency to cancer. Why do you think after all these years of a war on cancer going back to 1941, we have more cancer now than ever before? Do you think that's just happening by accident? No, ladies and gentlemen, the war on cancer is not a war to stop cancer. It's a war to prevent effective treatments and to increase it. There really is a population control agenda. If you doubt it, go to Elberton, Georgia, look at the Georgia Guidestones there, or go to my website, radioliberty.com, and look at the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones, and ask yourself, gee, why doesn't 60 Minutes ever tell us that there's a plan to kill off the vast majority of the people in our nation and the world? Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we've got Duke calling us from Texas. Hi, Duke. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I want to thank you for bringing on another great guest. But I, you know, I have something I'd like to talk to Keith about for a couple minutes here.
Go ahead.
I moved to Galveston about 27 years ago, and we had this huge dragonflies that were, you know, I'm not exaggerating, probably close to 4 inches in size. And a few years later, they started spraying. And I noticed that it killed everything, butterflies, these dragonflies, and everything. And then, you know, a few days later, after it would rain, we would have an infestation with mosquitoes. Well, I did a research on dragonflies, and I found that it takes up to 4 years for a dragonfly to go through the full cycle. And after they started spraying, that they were like about 2 inches long, and they keep killing them off over and over again. Do you have any thought on that?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just the dragonflies, but most of the natural predators to mosquitoes take far longer to reproduce and go through another life cycle than the mosquitoes do. The mosquitoes can do it in about 10 days. So they kill off all these natural predators, which dragonflies, by the way, are voracious mosquito eaters, and they're an alternative method. By increasing their numbers, we can decrease the numbers of mosquitoes. And it also kills the pesticides kill off all of the positive bats. Bats, for example, will eat 3,000 mosquitoes or insects a night. So if we would get mosquito fish in the water, get bats, swallows, and dragonflies and these alternative predators, then we could, you know, birds, amphibians, wasps. They have predator wasps that go around and kill a lot of these varmints that they use pesticides on. They inject the larva into the insect after they paralyze it, and then it feeds off it, and then it becomes an adult wasp and goes out and does it again, and this keeps them under control. So you're absolutely right. They're destroying the natural predators and throwing the balance of nature out of whack. And another thing that happens is that they, when the mosquitoes, it doesn't kill them all. It only gets, I believe, it's about 40% of them. And then the other ones become resistant to the pesticides, and the ones that come back after them become more resistant to the pesticide. They have to use more pesticides, and it's just a ridiculous cycle.
And, of course, they've done away with the most effective one we ever had, which was DDT. They didn't do away with it because it was harmful. In fact, it really, you could even eat it, you know. In fact, I had a friend of mine, Jay Gordon Edwards, who was a professor of entomology over at San Jose State, and he used to give lectures on DDT and start every lecture by taking and ingesting a tablespoonful of DDT. He eventually had to, because you can't take too much of it. That was a little excessive, but he did that for many years. He eventually died, you know. When he was about 80, he hiked the Matterhorn, and he died doing mountain climbing after that. But the DDT that he ingested, you know, giving lectures, didn't bother him at all. It was the safest insecticide we had. It didn't soften the eggshells. It didn't do away with the penguins. It was all alive. And we do have an excellent article by Dr. Edwards going into the background of that, if anybody wants to see it, or it's available up at the Journal of the American Medical Association. J. Gordon Edwards certainly put in Journal of the American Medical Association, J. Gordon Edwards, the DDT. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, they do away with the safe insecticides, they bring in the toxic ones, that really will impact your reproduction. Duke, great question. Do you have anything else you wanted to ask?
No, nothing at all. Thank you for your program, Dr. Stan.
Well, God bless, and please get all those people down there in Texas listening, will you?
Well, if they would just listen, they keep saying, keep spraying. And I keep saying, turn the sprayers off.
Amen. Bye-bye.
All right, good night.
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair. As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Keith, go right ahead. Well, no, about this legislation you were talking about, has this passed both the Senate and the House, just going to the governor's desk?
I think that's what the situation is there. I wanted to add one more thing to what Duke said there, quickly. Bee colony collapse. Everybody's familiar with that. The bees are dying all over the planet. Well, in Germany, they did research, and they found out that the Bayer Corporation was responsible for it. The colony collapse disorder is poisoning with a known insect neurotoxin called clofianidin. It's a pesticide manufactured by Bayer, which has been clearly linked to the massive die-off in Germany and France. And they're the same company. Bayer Corporation is the same one that makes the Pyrenone 25-5 here that is sprayed for the West Nile virus. And I'd like to point out to the listeners that this pesticide was made by Bayer Corporation, which was affiliated with IG Farben and produced the deadly gas Zyklon B, which was used in World War II to exterminate people in the gas chambers. Isn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy?
It sure does. Well, I know that Sidney I.G. Farben can be held personally responsible for that, but they were never punished for any of their war crimes, nor were any of the American corporations over there working in Hitler's Germany to build up the German war machine. Well, certainly I think it's vitally important that people get involved, and people can have an effect. What you need is somebody who's just willing to take a position of leadership, get the documentation, and then, of course, bring pressure on the public officials. They will back down because they know, or at least many of them understand, the real implications of what they're doing. And the last thing they really want is for the public to realize that there is a population control agenda, that we are being systematically, suddenly poisoned, not accidentally, but intentionally, by those who have a different agenda, because in my estimation, they worship a different god. There is a population control agenda. We are being poisoned, and your children are being poisoned as well. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan. My guest is Keith Howe. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, Keith dealt with our caller from Texas, who pointed out that down there where he is, why they used to have these dragonflies, and they came in and they sprayed for dragonflies and mosquitoes. And of course, they killed off the dragonflies. And why, of course, what they did is then the mosquitoes came back in tremendous numbers, and of course, because the dragonflies eat mosquitoes. And by doing the spraying, they killed the dragonflies, and of course, then they had a real epidemic of mosquitoes. So often the things that they do actually have certainly unintended consequences. It was like bring the African killer frogs to the United States to take care of some little problem they had, and suddenly we had these African gigantic frogs creating all sorts of problems. In South America, they brought the killer bees over here. That was a great idea, and of course now they're spreading up into the northern hemisphere. Well, send the telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. But Keith, do you have a website you'd like to get out for our listeners?
I don't have a website. I have an email address that if they have any questions or want any information, they can contact me there. And I just put it up as pesticidefraud@yahoo.com, so it would be easy.
Pesticidefraud@yahoo.com. That sounds like a great website.
And there's the one down in Monterey where they were very successful. They've got a great website that gives you a lot of information, and that's www.hope.org. That's onehope.org.
Now, was that the one for the light brown apple moth? Is that the
Checkmate and the light brown apple moth, yeah.
All right, fine. And ladies and gentlemen, remember when they told us, oh, my goodness, the light brown apple moth is going to destroy the agriculture in Northern California. That's why we've got to spray the population. And they blocked it, and they didn't spray, the population. And the agriculture is doing just fine. Of course, it's not doing fine in the Central Valley, but that's because they shut off the water there because we had to protect the smelt. No, really, ladies and gentlemen, they wanted to destroy the agriculture so that we could increase the agricultural profits in other countries, that we could enrich other countries as we impoverish the American people. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. If you're looking at it from a logical point of view, why, of course, it doesn't make sense. So there has to be another explanation. It's all about lowering living standards here, raising living standards elsewhere, That's why they shut off the water to the Central Valley. But, of course, the agriculture here along the coast is fine, despite the threat of the terrifying light brown apple moth. Well, Sydney T. Keith, now I hope you're not going to just sit back on your laurels. I hope you're going to keep watching what's going on and keeping us abreast of the legislation that they're introducing. And, Sydney, I think this idea of limiting spraying in the schools is an excellent idea.
Well, we can't rest because they won't. You know, they'll be back if you drop your guard. And
I think it's so vitally important. People, you know, say, well, you know, we want to spray and protect the children from, you know, these terrible little insects that, you know, they might bite them or something, or they might carry disease. What we have to keep stressing is that there is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to damage our children. And you only have to go to the Global Biodiversity Assessment or certainly get the material on population control. And there's so much out there. Well, other people have actually written about their real desire to massively decrease the world population. What we need to do is put them on the defensive.
Dr. Stan, have you heard of diatomaceous earth?
Certainly I have.
And they still use that. You can use it for flea infestations and other insects. What it is it's a very sharp particulate type of clay-like material that penetrates the surface, the chitin wax-like surface on the insect, and then they get dehydrated and they die. And it takes a couple days, but it's safe for pests and it's safe for humans. And, you know, there's lots of alternatives that could be implemented.
And that's really very interesting. You know, certainly it's one of the things you can do if you want to store things like wheat or flour or rice. So you can use diatomaceous earth.
Absolutely.
It'll kill all the critters there. And certainly, but it'll be safe for you. Well, let's go to Dorothy, who's calling us from Flint, Michigan. Once again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Dorothy. It's pretty late back there in Flint, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. It's late, but I always tune into Dr. Stan here.
Well, I appreciate it. He appreciates your staying up this late. Anyway, do you have a question or comment?
Yes. We, in our township, there's been spraying for mosquitoes since early 90s, and every 4 years it's presented to the residents to see if they want to, renew the contract. And it seems like every 4 years the township people always voted in this last August. We lost 2-1 in favor, and people, I think the general opinion of people is that they don't like mosquitoes.
Well, I think that's understandable, Dorothy, but we first should find out what they're spraying and what the hazards of the spraying are. And
yeah, it's the same. It's the same ingredients as what your host is talking about. And they don't, the people, because I've talked to people trying to put up signs in their yards, and they just don't care what it is. They just don't, they'd rather not have mosquitoes, and that's it.
Well, I think what you need to do, Dorothy, is to try to get them to understand that there really are people who want to destroy the health of the American people. I just simply ask them, you know, why do you think it is that they say that the sperm count on men has fallen so much? Why do you think that the fertility of women is falling? Why do you think we have so much cancer out there? Why do so many of our children have autism and learning disabilities and allergies and asthmas? Could it be possible that there's something in our environment that is being introduced into our environment that's doing that? How do you know what about the long-term effects of this? And then I hope that you'll get hold of Keith, Dr. Keith Howe, and get this information he has from a group of scientists who have actually evaluated these pest insecticides and the disastrous effects as far as lowering the immunity. Keith, do you want to go ahead and get that address out, how people could get a copy of that? And I hope you're going to send that to me as well.
Sure. Pesticidefraud@yahoo.com. That's my email. You can just put a, you know, email me and ask me what it is you're interested in, and I'll get back to you and
get it to you.
And what you need, really, Dorothy, is a small organization of people going door to door and saying, look, read this, understand that there really are people who feel there are too many people in the world, and they are actually in the process of introducing things that are going to decrease fertility, are going to increase
right.
cancer. And say, do you have any idea why so many people are dying of cancer? Do you know that they're suppressing effective treatments for cancer? Get them listening to our program. Or maybe we can convince them. I hope we can. At least we'll convince some people.
Listen, there was a the previous company, the owner of that company, he made headlines every summer, especially when they were going up for this renewal, and he'd make front page, was his name and picture, and he was spraying. You know, he did die of cancer.
And I would simply make a very large point of that, you know. And this guy died of cancer. Why did he die of cancer? Because it suppresses the immune system. Would you like to see somebody in your family die of cancer because, you know, these chemicals decrease their immune system? Ask them questions. Don't try to lecture them. Just ask them questions.
Okay,
and then be all set to be able to back it up. And we have the information here that on a lot of these things, Keith has got great information, though. I really applaud him for doing the work. Anything else, Dorothy?
No, just, you know, give us that website again before the end of the program.
One more time, the website where people can get the information. Of course, the website he has really has to do with the light brown apple moth, but this paper he has by the scientists, where is that posted someplace, Keith?
Yes, it is. Let me look and see here. I always put it on the end of it. What you can...
Okay, Dorothy, you can always get hold of Keith, and he'll get it for you.
Yeah, I can get it to you. There's a PDF on it. It's at beyondpesticides.org.
Beyondpesticides.org. Did you get that?
Okay, yeah. And it's an open letter by concerned physicians and scientists.
Okay.
Okay?
I appreciate it.
If you have trouble, let me know, and I'll get it to you.
Okay, God bless, Dorothy. Thanks so much for calling and staying up so late at night, because it's after midnight back there. I tell her it's almost 1 o'clock, but we have a lot of listeners, you know, certainly on the East Coast listening to this program every night. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, if you look at some of these things, they really don't make sense. You say, why are we here in our area? Why would they want to spray for the light brown apple moth when they knew it wasn't going to destroy the crops? Because, of course, it had come from, I think it was New Zealand or Australia, didn't destroy the crops over there. So why did they want to, and why weren't they going to spray the fields where the moth would do the problem? Why did they want to spray the people? Well, only when you understand the population control or genocidal or eugenic agenda does it make any sense. And once you point out what's going on, it is so deathly obvious. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and go right ahead, Keith.
One thing I'd like to point out also, Dorothy, is that pesticide they're spraying you with, 70% of it is called inert ingredients. And those are proprietary ingredients, and that you have no idea what they are, okay? So we don't even know what some of the substances in here are and how they interact. When you combine substances, chemicals, just like in medicine, you get reactions with them, and you get compounded toxicity. So we have no idea what the mystery 70% is in there. Another thing that they're doing is they're spraying BTI, which is Bacillus thuringiensis israelensis. And what that is it's a bacteria that kills the larval stage of the mosquitoes. However, the way that it does that is it inserts a DNA into the gut of the mosquito, and then the mosquito starts producing pesticides, and it kills itself. And this is influencing humans, too. They spray this stuff, and then we get it in our system. And they put this on deli meats to preserve them. so that the bacteria can't live.
But well, then, of course, when we adjust that, well, we get those bacteria into our intestine, and then we get the genes from them, and they get into our bacteria, and we begin producing the pesticides just like the insects do. And that's one of the big things, of course, that they've brought out as far as some of these genetically modified food, actually. They have genes in there that will actually produce pesticides, and they'll kill little critters trying to get on the corn. But you eat that corn, every kernel, every leaf, every bit of it has these genes which produce pesticides, and you get them in you, you get them into your bacteria, and pretty soon you become a pesticide manufacturing machine, and you will become susceptible to those pesticides, and that is really the great danger of these genetically modified foods, and this is being totally suppressed. This is covered very well. If anybody wants to check it out, certainly Jeffrey Smith's articles, you can pull them down at worldaffairsbrief.com. That's worldaffairsbrief.com. We do carry Jeffrey's excellent book, Genetic Roulette. Genetic Roulette. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We also have a four-tape set on GMO foods, genetically modified foods. Go right ahead there, Keith.
Well, the genetically modified foods are also, they're being made to make the women, to stimulate their immune systems to attack human chorionic gonadotropin so they can't get pregnant. So genetically modified food is being used and weaponized for population reduction as well. One thing I'd like to point out before we go is what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. What they're spraying in there and they're calling dispersants are neurotoxic pesticides, and that comes from Hugh Kaufman, who is a top EPA official and whistleblower. And if you want to get some good information on what's going down there that's being kept out of the mainstream media, people are hemorrhaging and coughing up blood and getting terrible rashes, and they're dying down there, and it's being kept out of the media.
Is there any way to get hold of this EPA whistleblower?
You can do a Google search on Hugh Kaufman, H-U-G-H, Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N. I think it's 2 N's.
All right, does he still work? I don't suppose he still works for the EPA, does he?
I don't think so. But he was with it from almost the beginning, and he's an engineer, and he was in charge of toxic solid waste disposal. So
that,
the guy,
of course,
is very sharp and very qualified.
Well, that, of course, is the core exit that they're spraying, and this really is the disastrous thing. It is actually so toxic they can't spray it in England, so British Petroleum comes here and sprays it here. EPA told them not to do it, and they went ahead and did it anyway, because you have to understand British Petroleum is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. They're above the law. Let's go to Barbara calling us from Kentucky. Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
Hi. Okay. Yep, late here. Going on 1 o'clock. So,
are you there in Lexington, the station there?
No, I'm listening on a station in Cincinnati.
Okay, fine. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if she was her speaker, but there was just a lady on there a little bit ago talking about something for infestations of fleas that was not toxic. I didn't catch what she said.
Basically, he was talking about diatomaceous earth. How is that for fleas? Can you use that for fleas?
Sure, you can sprinkle it around the carpet in the house, and you can put it on directly on your pet.
What's it called?
Diatomaceous earth.
D-I-A-T-O-M-A-C-E-O-U-S.
Diatomaceous earth, and you remember.
C-I-O.
No, dia, D-I-A, diatomaceous.
Right, but at the end is C-I-O-S.
Diatomaceous earth.
Okay, earth, okay.
Okay.
Where can you get that at?
Go ahead and go to my email and I can give you some information on that. Any feed store should have it.
Okay, fine. One more time, get out your email, Keith.
Pesticidefraud@yahoo.com.
PesticideFraud@yahoo.com. Does that help you, Barbara?
Yes, thank you.
And this, if you want to actually store things like wheat or corn or things like that, it will not bother you, but it'll sure make the life of the little critters miserable, and they eat it, and it kills them. But it won't kill you. It won't kill your pets. But
okay,
the insects, it's great. Okay?
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been Dr. Keith Howe, and I just wanted you to hear him tonight, what one person can do. And what we need is a lot of Keith Howes out all across America, working independently, getting the word out, and then, of course, hopefully, try to get to your doctor, try to get to your dentist, try to get to your chiropractor, try to get to people, and let them understand there is a population controlled agenda. We have the end game, that DVD by Alex Jones. He's going to have a new DVD out very soon on population control. Go to my website, look at the Georgia Guidestones. Understand that they really want to kill off most of the people on Earth. Well, Keith, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Okay, I'd like to finish up with the Gulf of Mexico, what's going on.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
What they're doing here with the, you're more familiar with it than I am, with all these UN agendas and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, well, we'll get into that another night. Good night. God bless.
All righty, take care.
Thank you. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. If you'd like to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, get our 4 best tapes of the month, our monthly newsletter. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to actually just subscribe to our newsletter, where you'll get that on a monthly basis. We do hope that many of you out there will want to come to our all-day conference. It's going to be in the Aptos Seascape Golf Course here in beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And we'll be bringing in speakers from across the country. We're going to be serving lunch. You're going to have reservations. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 844-8927. So give us a call if you can make it, and bring others, people, even if they don't understand what's going on. I hope that after they leave our program, why it will change the way they look at the world. You have to understand that the world is under attack today. Our population is under attack today. You need to get my talk on the population control agenda, my talk on the certainly planned population reduction, my talk on none dare call it genocide, my talk on population control. They're three separate talks. And then, of course, we've written a monograph. You can find it on the Internet. It's called The Population Control Agenda. Or if you get anything from us, you can ask for a copy. We'll be glad to send it to you. We have, Sydney, video called Sustainable Development, The Road to World Government, going along with this whole scam. We have a syllabus. We have four tape sets on sustainable development. We actually offer Agenda 21, the United Nations Agenda 21 program. We offer copies of the Earth Charter. We have information you're not going to be readily able to get elsewhere. There is a master plan. There is an agenda, the agenda to the 21st century. That's why they call it Agenda 21. And what do they want to do? They want to get you out of your car. They want to get you out of your home. They want to create a situation where it'll be extremely difficult for you to live any place other than in a sustainable community. It's going to take years, but they're in the process of doing it. That's why they're putting in the bicycle lanes in the cities, and that's why, of course, they're doing everything they can to get us into electric cars. This is why they're doing everything they can to raise the cost of electricity. That's what the smart meter's about. That's why they're taking out our dams. That's why they won't allow us to build nuclear power plants in America. We can subsidize them. We can guarantee the loans on nuclear power plants elsewhere in the world, but we just can't build them here in America because they might be another Chernobyl. We don't know what to do with the spent nuclear of rods. Why we spent $9 billion building this depository in Nevada. And underground, massive railway lines leading in there, way underground in these tunnels. But, of course, the judge says you can't use it because you don't know what's going to happen 25 or 50,000 years from now. And until you do, you can't use it. We can't store the rods. Why don't we just reprocess them? The government won't let us reprocess them. Everybody else in the world can reprocess the fuel rods. We just can't do it here in America. But it's really, they don't want us to have cheap and efficient electricity. They want to raise the price not only for the individual but for industry so they can drive more industry offshore. They know what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen. They just don't want you to know. Go to our website, radioliberty.com, watch our DVDs, or certainly read our newsletters, listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the Internet. And tell others about Radio Liberty. Tell them about our program on the 17th of October, our number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring about your world, your new world, remaking your world. Remaking our world. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is straight up top of the hour wherever you are, and we are so happy to have you join us. Yeah, beautiful world, but I need to tell you something. No birds. kid you not, no birds. Yesterday I went for a drive out in the country, about 20 miles, no birds. Went to some places where there's always birds, no birds. Got three emails from people saying, we don't have birds either. One was in, I believe, Denton, Texas. I don't know. This is really bizarre. First thing in the morning, the birds are out in the garden. No birds. They're at their feeder. No birds. I don't know what it means, but I do thank John DiNardo. He says, sounds like it just might be